Welcome to the podcast of the City Club of Eugene, Oregon. The City Club builds community vision through open inquiry and is dedicated to enabling an informed public on a wide range of topics. Coming up in today's program.
And it's fascinating, I think, that this community is the birthplace of that deep connection to that experience of running for so many people, and that we are known for that around the world. What happens here truly does not happen anywhere else.
We appreciate the sponsors who make our civic work possible, including Kaiser Permanente, kp.org, Lane Community College, lanecc.edu, Peace Health, peacehealth.org, the University of Oregon, uoregon.edu, and generous support from Lane County and the City of Eugene. And here's today's program.
Hello, and welcome to City Club's June 24th, 2022 program, From Pre to Tomorrow, the Magic of Tracktown, USA. And my name is Karin Knutson, and I am delighted to be City Club's president. It is wonderful to have you all with us here today in person, and we should probably start today's program with a slow clap, like we're all lining the backstretch of Hayward Field. And that is because this week's City Club is being held amidst the 2022 USA National Championships at Hayward Field, and also less than a month before Eugene hosts the Oregon 22 World Championships from July 15th to 24th. We are delighted to be joined today by Eugene Marathon Race Director and Olympian Ian Dobson, Cresswell's Lon Robertson, and also elite marathoner and educator Craig Leon, who will be with us just a little bit later in the program. All of them have particularly unique connections to our local running culture and to the upcoming championships. You can find more detailed biographical information on our website, cityclubofeugene.org. Running is a part, for me, as a part of Oregon's track and field programs, is one of the things that first brought me to Eugene. And that personal connection is why our program committee chair asked me to coordinate today's program. This morning, I was thinking about Japanese author Haruki Murakami's wonderful book, What I Talk About When I Talk About Running, which is a meditation on aspirations and process. And the title for his book was taken from Raymond Carver's short story collection, What We Talk About When We Talk About Love. And I don't think that you can talk about running in Eugene without talking about love. The love that this community has shown for running is potent and truly unique, not just in our country, but around the world. And to love running is to appreciate the process of dreaming, of wild aspirations grounded in careful preparation, and the willingness to dedicate oneself to a hope just out of grasp, to the idea of improvement, even as it might be quite painful to accomplish. Sometimes that love means finding yourself falling short or watching a moment slip through your fingers. And in those moments, or on a day like today, the sting of that heartbreak could feel quite real. And yet somehow, the next day, you're lacing up your shoes and you're stepping out the door. That practice and persistence is something that running truly teaches. And it's fascinating, I think, that this community is the birthplace of that deep connection to that experience of running for so many people, and that we are known for that around the world. What happens here truly does not happen anywhere else. And now to introduce today's program. In the spring of 1975, weeks before his death, Steve Prefontaine had been working to realize a dream that was a few years in the making, a series of international track meets that would culminate at an early summer race at Hayward Field. Oregon Track Club's archive newsletters recount that remarkable summer competition series that had been planned by Prefontaine and others. The origin story of Hayward Magic lives with remarkable events such as these, where the best in the world were drawn to Eugene and then faced off in low-key, high-stakes, record-setting matchups to the delight of a delirious and appreciative crowd. In a few weeks, the Willamette Valley will once again welcome the world in a way unique to this moment of history, but that may also sound a little bit familiar. Representatives from more than 200 countries will be here. Hundreds of high school athletes will travel into Eugene to experience the training grounds just beyond Hayward's hallowed gates. And thousands of international visitors and local fans will line the streets of Eugene and Springfield as the Oregon 22 Marathon Championships loops three times between Pioneer Parkway and the Ferry Street Bridge before finishing at Autzen Stadium. Today's speakers bring us different perspectives on the history of Eugene's running culture and also ideas about its future. Ian Dobson is a 2008 Olympian and Eugene Marathon race director. Craig Leon is an accomplished professional marathoner and instructor at the U of O's Business School's Warsaw Sports Marketing Program. And we will first hear from Cresswell's Lon Robertson, who has a very unique connection to these upcoming championships. Lon Robertson, welcome to City Club.
City Club of Eugene. The Hayward Field of social thought and awareness for Lane County. It is truly an honor and a privilege to be here. Thank you. As Karin indicated, my name is Lon Robertson, and along with my colleagues Ian and Craig, we hope to tell you stories, our stories. And we hope those stories will weave together a tapestry that will reveal not just where Eugene was and not just where Eugene is, but we hope to inspire you to consider joining us in going where we think Eugene can go. I want to begin by telling the story of a little kid that was, a little kid when many of you were little kids. The little kid lived in Cresswell, 1962, and he had a second father. You know, second father, the dad of your best friend kind of guy. Well, this little kid's second father's name was Jerry Andrews. Jerry Andrews was a PE teacher and a track and field coach up at Spencer Butte Junior High. Jerry loved track and field. And whenever they were together, Jerry would regale the little kid with stories of great races and great racers. And every spring, Jerry would come down, pick up that little kid, and they would travel to Hayward Field. And they would go to the south end of the east grandstand, and they would sit in fifth or sixth or seventh row, close enough to the track where you could feel the runners. And that little kid, he would saddle up next to Jerry, and Jerry would tell him what was going on, what event was up, and what should happen, who the runners were, who would probably finish, but who might be a surprise victor. And he told him about the great racers. And that little kid, it is there that he learned the names and the faces of the great racers like Jim Ryan, Marty LaQuarrie, Frank Shorter, Dave Waddle. It is there that little kid learned to love track and field. He learned to love the excitement and the thrill of the crowd as it pressed up against him, because everybody wanted to be at Hayward to see what was happening, to be part of the excitement out on that track. It is there that little kid learned to love running. Ironically, the little kid loved to run. Well, he loved running, but he didn't like to run. And I can guarantee you, if you were the same age as that little kid, at any race of any distance, you would have beat him. And I know that because that little kid was the slowest kid in his school. Nonetheless, at the end of the day, he would go home and he would tell his family about all the things he had seen, the people he had watched, and how it felt, how exciting it was. One night, his dad was reading the paper, the Register Guard, and he was reading about this something new that had happened in Eugene. Back then, just like now, everybody raises their eyebrows when something new happens in Eugene. But in this case, it was jogging, this thing where people were just running around. My dad was mesmerized by that. Everybody thought, what is this? Well, as it turned out, Bill Hayward had just come back from a visit to New Zealand. When he went to New Zealand, it was to study with another great coach, Arthur Lydiard. Arthur and Bill were at the track sharing coaching stories and techniques, ideas. And at the end of one day, Lydiard got Hayward or Bowerman into the car. They drove down the road. He stopped by a field, and he pointed off to the grass. And up in the field were about 30, 40 people. There were fat people and skinny people, old people, young people, male people, female people. And they were all doing this. And they were limbering up and stretching. And suddenly, they all took off running. Bill said, what are they doing? Is that a cross-country match? And Lydia chuckled, and he said, no, Bill, they're just running. Well, why are they running? And Lydia chuckled again, and he said, They're running for fun. They're running for fitness. They're running to be together. They're running in community, Bill. They call it jogging. Bowerman was overwhelmed, and he was so intrigued. He watched it, and he thought about it. He was 50 years old and overweight at the time, so the next day, he got out with those joggers. And every day that he was in New Zealand, the rest of his trip, he joined those joggers. When he got home, he virtually set aside all of the coaching tips and the techniques that he had shared with Lydiard, because he was so focused on this experience that he had just had in New Zealand, this jogging with people and how exciting it was and how wonderful it was. And you see, Coach Bowerman was not just a coach. In fact, he felt that he was a teacher, and he wanted to be a teacher more than a coach. And being a teacher, he wanted to share good things with his family and his friends and his neighbors, with his community. And he had had this experience that he knew he needed to share with them. And so he took the notes that he had written. He created a 4-page pamphlet, got in touch with the register guard, and sent out an invitation to come join me for this experiment called jogging. Well, the next Sunday, a couple dozen people showed up right out there on Hayward Track. Bill joined them, and they jogged, which was kind of running and walking and jogging. And apparently it was so much fun that they invited their friends, because the next Sunday there was over 100 people out on Hayward Track together. And the next Sunday, 200. And Bowerman goes on to tell us that eventually there were well over 2,000 joggers in Eugene. Ironically, or oddly, Life magazine picked up this story, and they printed it. And soon, inquiries were coming to Bowerman from every state in the nation. How did you do this? What is this? Tell us how to go about it. Is there a trick? Is there a plan? Can you help us? Because we want to try this in our community and in our town. So Lydiard got together with U.S. Bank, and U.S. Bank produced his 4-page pamphlet, and they sent it out across the country. And soon, there were jogging clubs and jogging groups popping up all over the country. It became so popular that Bowerman actually wrote a 217-page book called Jogging. It sold well over 1 million copies in its first year, which was quite a feat back in then. You see, Coach Bowerman was a teacher, not just a coach. Now, a few years later, a young brash kid came out of Coos Bay. His name was Steve Prefontaine. You know him, America's greatest long-distance runner. Yes, indeed, he was a great runner. But like Bowerman, he didn't see himself as just that. He also saw himself as a community builder. He saw himself as a teacher. And he wanted other people to understand the joy and the love of this running in a team, this running together, this running in a community, this thing that burned in him. He wanted to share that with everybody else. And yes, he ran a lot of races, and you know all about those races, so I don't need to tell you about those other than one race. And that was the Olympics in 1972. He was scheduled for the 5,000 meter, where there were actually several really great runners. But Prefontaine knew he was going to run, or to win. That was Steve's way. He always knew he was going to win. And he was expected to win, perhaps. And the race went on, and he was in the lead. And 600 meters to go, another great runner, in fact, one of the greatest runners of all time, Lasse Virran from Finland, passed Steve, 600 meters to go. Lasse ended up winning the race, taking home gold. Prefontaine ended fourth, taking home nothing. The sting of defeat was strong. He was angry. He was mad at himself. He'd never, ever forget that race, wishing he had done something different, wishing he had one more try. But he didn't let it get him down. He went on running and went on winning. But a couple years later, 1975, had a great idea. With that sour taste of defeat in his mouth, he thought, I can achieve two things at one time. So he contacted Lasse Virran, and he said, Lasse, how about a rematch? How about coming over to Oregon? We'll run against each other again. But this time, when you come, bring your teammates. Bring the entire Finland team. And we'll travel around, and we'll have track meets, and we'll finish our time together at Hayward Field for our duel. Lasse Wierin was no dummy. He knew he only had something to lose. So he reasonably declined the invitation. But he did encourage and send his Finland colleagues to Oregon. And together with Steve Prefontaine, they went to cities and towns, little towns like Coos Bay and Madras. They took track and field to the people. They didn't wait for the people to come to track and field. They shared this joy. They ignited fires in the hearts of other people to love track and field, to experience running, to try to experience that community. Now, about this time, back to that little kid, he graduated from college, and then he graduated from graduate school, and he moved to Alaska. And in Alaska, he worked in Eskimo villages on the Arctic Ocean, and while he was there, he got busy, and pretty soon he was in Alaska a lot longer than he ever expected, actually years longer than he ever expected. But all the time, he longed to be home in Oregon. And when he closed his eyes and he thought about Oregon, he saw himself at Hayward Field. He saw himself being part of the running community, part of the running culture. By this time, because of Bowerman and because of Prefontaine, Eugene, Oregon was known as the running capital, not just of America, but of the entire world. And that little kid dreamt about coming home to that. Well, it was nearly 18 years later before an opportunity arose, and the little kid had a chance to go home. So he picked up his family, and he moved back to Eugene. And when I got here, I'm afraid I was sadly disappointed. When I got here, I realized some of the magic had dissipated, that the running community was so thin that most people didn't know what I was talking about. People were independent. They didn't belong to each other. They didn't belong to something, something so great, something that the whole world knew, but so many people here didn't, that this is indeed the running capital of the world. And I thought, I've got to do something because I've got to have that back. I know what I experienced was real. I know that excitement was there. I know we loved being together in community. But we don't have it. I'm going to do something about it. I don't know what I'm going to do about it, but I'm going to do something. I will work until I die to make it happen. But in my fervor, finally realized I'm not a runner. I don't even know a runner. I have no sphere of influence, and I have no money. So what am I going to do? Well, I don't have those other things, but I do have determination. And I can be clever. And yes, I can be a little devious. And I came up with a clever idea that was a little bit devious. But I met some runners. Craig Leon was the first runner I met. And that led me to meet Ian Dobson. And later, my running coach and partner, Dr. Jen Lewis. And Karen Knutson. We got together and we started sharing our stories. And we shared our dreams. And we immediately realized we all shared this same dream, this dream of Hayward magic. They didn't have the historical perspective that I had, but they had the intuitive knowledge, the understanding that we can be more than we are, that we can come together, that we can belong to a community, that we can be bigger than ourselves. We can indeed be a running community in the running capital of the world. And so we've been thinking and we've been planning and talking and we have our projects and we're doing everything we can. And I'm going to let Ian tell you more about that in just a moment. But before I do, I want to postscript. 3 years ago, I realized that in my zeal to do whatever I can, I knew I was going to want to be part of World Athletics Championship. And so a couple buddies and I, we sat down and we wrote a biography of Creswell. And we sent that biography across the World Wide Web with the help of Oregon 22 to all the nations who were sending their teams to Eugene in July. They were sending their best of their best, their elite. And then, along with that biography, we extended an invitation. Send us your athletes early, before the competition. Send them, and we will help them as they acclimate, as they adjust and rest, as they recover from their traveling, and as they become comfortable with a new culture and food and new ways. Send them to us, and we will host them. We'll find them places to sleep, and we'll find them things to eat, places to train, ways to get around, and ways to make things work so that their time at Worlds could be the most successful. About 9 months ago, nations started responding. And in January, I began communicating with one team in particular. Immediately, I knew this one was different. It felt right. They had the right number of athletes and coaches, about 40. We could accommodate that. Their athletes were going to participate in things that we had the facilities to help, well, except a hammer cage. I'll tell you more about that someday. But we could help these people. And the communication was clear, and it was fluid, and there was trust, and there was just this je ne sais quoi that they knew and I knew that we were meant to get together. And so since January, we've been planning, daily planning, for their arrival. And next week, that team, ironically enough, Team Finland, who had responded to Steve Prefontaine's invitation to come and share track and field in the small towns and communities of Oregon, will move into Creswell. And we will be their hosts. And we will help them, and we will love them, and we will support them, and we will be excited for them as our two cultures come together in a magical way, hopefully a Hayward magical way. Thank you, Ian.
Thank you, Lon. Lon is far more articulate and distinguished and dapper than I am. I'm wearing a collared shirt today only because he texted me yesterday asking me what I was gonna wear, which is not something I had considered yet. And I realized that I probably should, lest Lon show up looking like the only one who thought about what he was gonna wear in the morning. I'm here wearing a collared shirt. But that's by way of sort of suggesting that I'm gonna talk in the way that I probably would have dressed if Lon had not texted me, which is far less articulate and distinguished and all that than Lon. So I also have a good friendship with Lon, and it's really difficult for me to sit back there and not interject while Lon is talking, because there are a lot of caveats and stories and whatnot that I think would add accuracy to some of his stories, one of which, I mean, not to suggest that they aren't accurate, but one of which is this idea that Lon is not a runner. Lon is a runner. He's probably one of the more fanatical runners that I know. He probably tell this more accurately than I can, but there was he was injured going into a marathon at one point and stuck something in his leg that I think only a doctor, as he was at the time, would have access to actually get through this marathon and finish it, which seems like a crazy thing to do, but that he did. I grew up in Klamath Falls, which I think is relevant to kind of the part of the story I think that I can add to a little bit, just because I grew up in Klamath Falls, but came to Eugene a lot as a kid, as a runner. I was sort of lucky enough to have people in my life that made it seem like running was cool and important, and that was what I was into. And I think coming to a place like Hayward Field in particular, I don't think I had the wherewithal to think of Eugene as its own place necessarily in terms of the identity, and maybe that speaks to some of what Lon was referring to. I think when I was growing up in late 90s, it wasn't necessarily Tracktown USA in the way that it maybe was when Steve Prefontaine was alive, and maybe that it is now, I hope. But Hayward Field was still a place that was, I think, important to me because it was super validating, right? You show up as a high school kid who is really into running, and it's not football or, you know, it's not this you know, glamorous sport necessarily, but Hayward Field made it that way. So coming up and getting to run there, I think, you know, getting to see athletes at the Prefontaine Classic every year, it made it, like, feel important and real and all that. So basically, I want to talk here today, I think, to build off of what Lon's stories sort of lead to, is just kind of my perspective, I guess, on what's happening right now with the World Athletics Championships. I'd like to, yeah, share some of my perspective about what's happening right now in terms of the opportunities and challenges that go along with the World Athletics Championships, and kind of what that means for us as a running community, and hopefully maybe a community more broadly even. So right now, my role, I am race director for the Eugene Marathon, and our team has been contracted to manage the road events for the World Championships, which is a super exciting opportunity. It's been really challenging. I think we're going to grow a ton and learn a lot. But so my role specifically is as competition director for the road events, which includes men's and women's marathons, and then the 20K and 35K race walks for both men and women. For the whole championships, I mean, the previous host cities are a long list of big cities: Doha, London, Daegu, Berlin, Helsinki, lots of places, Paris, thank you, yes, and Eugene. I think there's some inherent challenges, right? Like, we're inherently under-resourced. Like, we have far fewer police officers than we would need, I'm using air quotes if you can't see that, for an event like this. And I think we're figuring out how to make it work, right? But this is not a community that has hosted this sort of mega event where we're having 3,000 members of the media here. The athletes will feel, the number of athletes is similar to what we would have for Olympic trials, but I think the scale of the security and the process for athletes getting here is much, much different. So I think one of the challenges that just right now, this idea of hosting the World Athletics Championships, one of the challenges we're kind of like running into at a real sort of ground level is the long-term sort of, I think, result of buying into our own hyperbole, sort of. I think I got to be part of a lot of events here. I worked for Tracktown USA previously, so we hosted the Olympic trials, the World Junior Championships, World Indoor Championships, and everything is always the best and the biggest, and that's kind of how you position it. And now that we're actually hosting the best and the biggest thing, it's hard, I think, as a community to get our heads around why this is different and why we need to have 6 months ago been doing certain things that now we're finally getting around to doing. So there's some real challenges there. I think we're going to get there, obviously, but it's going to be a huge learning process for everybody involved. Selfishly, I feel like as an event organizer, as a community, we're going to be much better at hosting things going forward. This is like a huge stretch for us. It's going to make things that we would do on a normal basis feel much more normal. So some of the opportunities right now, I think, that exist that some, I think, are being capitalized on, some we need to do a better job on, are obviously some of the short-term economic opportunities. I think the reinforcing of our identity as Tracktown USA is something that is really important. I think that because it's such a community-wide effort, because everybody in every department of the city, the county, Springfield, ODOT, LTD, I mean, every business, everything is involved in this. And there's almost no one who's impacted, there's almost no one who's not impacted or who hasn't had to be coordinated with. And I think it's brought an awareness more broadly to our identity as Tracktown USA and this big thing that, whether you bought into it initially or not, we are doing, and like it's gonna happen and we need to make it the best thing we can. I think that identity is kind of being reinvigorated through that process. So, and I really do think that this shared experience of doing this really hard thing together is gonna make a lot of things in the future feel much more doable. So again, in my role, like as an event organizer, it's such a stretch to organize the security and the infrastructure that needs to go into the marathon course. It's just fundamentally different than the Eugene Marathon. And so I think next year we're going to come to the Eugene Marathon and it's going to feel like something we understand and that we can we can really level up in ways that maybe previously we didn't think we could, either as an event organization or as a city or as a police force or partners or whatever. The bar is going way up with the World Championships here, and I think that we're going to benefit from that for a long time going forward. Going through hard things together, I think, breeds a strong team, I hope. And then I also think that the opportunity to really validate what young people who are into track and field and running are doing, I think that's really important. So I coach a high school team at Sheldon High School, and this year, for the first time, really, I got to experience with them what it feels like to walk into Hayward Field. They're kids who are really into running, and you show up at Hayward Field, especially the new reimagined Hayward Field, and it feels really, really big and important. And everything that they did at this kind of random track out in the back of the school all of a sudden feels important, you know, and it's not a peripheral thing anymore. And I think that's super important. The venue is part of that. The event itself is obviously part of that. And I'm really excited for that. I've got a bunch of my high school kids out. They're going to be out volunteering on the roads at 3 a.m. before the marathons. I don't know if that's going to be validating, but it'll be an experience anyway. I have a second part here that I wanted to talk about, really specific to the marathon, because that's what I'm really sort of neck deep in right now, is getting ready for the World Championships Marathon, which is taking place the mornings of July 17th, 17th and 18th. Starts at 6:15 a.m. The 17th is a Sunday, and the 18th is a Monday. And why it's being held on a Monday morning is not a question I have the answer to. That was something that I came into, and that's the framework, and it seems wildly counterintuitive, but that's what we're doing. My life would be a lot easier if we were doing it Saturday and Sunday, but we're not. So Monday morning, July 18th, we will be having a marathon, and the streets will be closed on the course, and that's what we're doing. So it's been a push, I'll say that. You know, and there's some obvious impacts there that we've had to work through that have been really interesting. I think, you know, there's the obvious traffic and security and whatnot, but just learning more in depth the concerns that different park users have, sound ordinances, different things that we've just never run into before, I think are examples of what I was referring to earlier of like just this growth. Like, I think we have a much better understanding as a community of how we can host events, and as event organizers of how we can be good partners within a community. The course itself is going to be really cool. It's three laps. It's almost exactly half in Eugene, half in Springfield. It goes through Alton Baker Park. It crosses the Willamette River twice from downtown Springfield into Glenwood and back. Through downtown Springfield, starts and finishes outside Autzen on MLK. We've actually just yesterday started the first build out. We saw the first tent starting to go up at Autzen Stadium. So it's starting to feel real. It is the road events are the only free events at the World Championships, which is exciting. Anybody can show up, anybody can watch anywhere on the course. And I really hope people do. It's early, it starts at 6:15, but this is not a sales pitch. This is actually just me saying it's gonna be awesome, and it's gonna be worth actually getting up and being out there, because I think it will be a really, really exciting race. Really, really exciting event. Even if a person is not invested in the race, I think it's a spectacle that it's going to be worth waking up early for. With that, anyway, I'm going to turn it over to Craig. Here you go, Craig.
So I used to have, I don't really have dreams or nightmares, but I used to have a kind of reoccurring nightmare when I was training, that I would somehow miss the start of a race, and then like chaos would ensue, and I'd have to like somehow get down to the start line and like chase to catch up with everyone. So I kind of feel like this is manifesting itself here walking in midway. That never happened to me in real life. This maybe is a good segue from Ian's portion on the marathon. So I moved to Eugene in 2011 to run professionally. And my event was the marathon. And so part of moving to Eugene was the lure of coming out here previously. I had run the marathon here in Eugene in 2010. And won that. That was the first race that I had done. And so there was just this like seedling of inspiration that was planted at that time of like, wow, what could this place be? And so I had some friends out here, this idea of moving to track town, moving in this environment where running was taken very seriously was just, it felt like a dream. And so moving to Eugene and kind of getting to experience what that was like, certainly in 2000, and 12. I was here for the trials in 2008. It was an unbelievable feeling to be a part of, not just at Hayward Field, but when you were around the city at the time as well. So fast forward, I had a successful, you know, running career. I finished top 10 in the Boston Marathon, top 10 in the New York City Marathon. And in the process of that time of living and training in Eugene, my wife and I decided, like, we wanted to make our home here, and that this was a place that we wanted to be a part of, the community that we wanted to be a part of. And certainly a big influence and factor in that was running, in the running community that existed here. I also am fortunate enough to work at the university. I work in the business, College of Business, in the Warsaw Sports Marketing Center. And for the past 2 years have been, I've been in that role for 8 years, but for the last 2 years, we've had students that are working directly with various entities in and around the track and field community, whether that be Tracktown here locally, NBC Sports, USATF. And the whole idea of a lot of their projects is, how do we reinvigorate track and field? How do we make it cool to young kids? How do we make it cool to the community? And certainly an emphasis here for USA Track and Field and NBC Sports is, how do they make it cool here in the United States this summer for this event, and in this run-up into what will be a hosted Olympics here in the US and LA 28. And so it was interesting working with students who, for the most part, were not connected in any way to track and field, the running community, or in a lot of ways, the Eugene community. I think of the 20 or 30 students who have been kind of in and out of these projects, we've maybe had one or two that actually is an Oregonian from Oregon, in any capacity. So people are coming from elsewhere in the US, or in some cases from around the world. And so they hear about this idea of Tracktown and what it is, and certainly Hayward Magic. And so as we sat around and ideated earlier this year, the conversation of this group, again, non-runners, non-Oregonians, non-Eugenians, was this idea that Hayward Magic was something that was unique and special, and at the same time, they had never been able to experience it before. And part of that was COVID. Part of that was that there was a new facility that had been under construction and then closed last year because of COVID. And so this idea that they had was like, how do we, one, make people in our community, in this case, the students' community, the youth community, feel that Hayward Magic that maybe they had been missing out on over the last couple of years? And then more broadly, how do we get people in this community to reinvest in Hayward Magic? And how do we get people in the US and globally interested in track and field? And so it's been fun to be around students that their goal after graduation is to go and work in the sports business ecosystem, and they want to be a part of grassroots fan engagement projects like this. And so to see the ideas, the enthusiasm that they've brought to this that can really benefit this community, I think has been really a kind of fun passion project for me to be involved in, is just this advisor that kind of comes in and out of these conversations that they're hearing. And it's either A, validating to say like, oh, there is something special here, or also too, it's been instructful of like, what needs to happen going forward for this community to really be Tracktown USA for the next 50 years. And so I think it's we're at this really big inflection point of the history of Tracktown. I've been fortunate enough to run in these circles with what I call kind of the old guard of Eugene, who have been around, have been to track meets for 70 plus years, and they love to tell these old stories. And I'm like, man, what if that could be rekindled in some way? And so here we are, we're hosting the World Championships. Well, what happens next? What happens in 2023? What happens in 24? What happens in 34? And I think it's part of the people in the room, part of the people listening, part of the people who are in the running community already, but those of us that are just in Eugene, this has become the brand of Eugene. And we, I think, in order to be successful as a community, have to also live up to it. Last night I was at the day one of USA Championships. There was 2,700 people there. The Eugene Emeralds will attract 2,700 people to a Eugene Emeralds game during the summer. I love Alan Benavides. He does an amazing job. But the best runners in the U.S. should be able to attract a larger audience than that. So it's on us as a community to really embrace these events if we want them to continue to come here in the future. And it takes everybody from, you know, again, the people that live here, and then also back to my students' projects, how do we actually get young people to be engaged and care in the sport in the future of Tracktown USA and the future of Hayward Magic?
If you enjoyed this presentation by the City Club of Eugene, please visit our website at cityclubofeugene.org or our YouTube channel and our social media pages.